Today's Shir is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph, the second line. Amalei Rava Rabbi Bameri, Rava Satz Rabbi Bameri, Minah Milsa Damri Inchi. What is the source for what people say? Basa Mari Nichsi Tzivi Mishach. After your somebody who's wealthy, you should connect to him. Now, where do we see that that if you connect to a successful person, it will influence your success? Amalei, because the pasuk says by light the ksiv, the pasuk says by light the gabla light ha'helach es Avram, light who accompanied Avram hayitzayin ubakavalim, he was also successful. So Avram Avinu was successful, and as Avram Avinu was successful, so was light. Amrav Chanan. If somebody says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, punish this individual, who nenesh tchila? The person who made that request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be punished first. Shenemam, as we find, that after Hagar got pregnant from Avram Avinu, and she started disrespecting Sarah, so the pasuk says, that Sarai says to Avram, Sarai says to Avram Avinu, V'tamai Sarai al Avram, Chamasi elecha, I'm upset. Anoichi nosati shivchosi b'chaykecha, I gave you my slave to be your wife. V'teira, now she sees ki harasa, that she got pregnant, V'ekel b'ne'a, Yishper Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get involved, so to speak. And the pasuk says, "V'yav Avram lispoy l'sara of kaisoi." So we see that Avram Avinu outlived Sarah. So the Mefarshim explain that. How do we understand this pasuk? The way to understand the pasuk is the pasuk says, "V'yav Avram lispoy." It doesn't say "V'avram safar ubacha." So Mefarshim explain what the pasuk is trying to teach us here. Dein Eliyahu the Gra explains is that Sarah Imenu's death was completely unexpected. And the only reason, presumably, that she didn't survive is because what she did would hug her. And that's what the proof is that one should not act in this way. The Panim Yafis explains that a woman has every right to want to have children. And therefore, Sarah's request wasn't that unacceptable. But why does a woman want to have children? A woman wants to have children, the Gemara says often that she should have somebody who should bury her. So what happened over here was, Sarah was saying to Avram Avinu, I want to have children, so somebody to bury me. And therefore, that's what happened. She was buried. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained this Gemara apidrush, that a person sees that other people are doing averus, and they say, what they're doing is not my affair. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if they're doing something wrong, Hamoisadin l'shamayim, a person's attitude is that in Shamayim, they should decide how to treat this person if he's not acting appropriately. That is not the way it's supposed to live. Hu nenesh tchila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, if you want me to look at how other people, so to speak, misbehave, I'm going to look at the way you misbehave. And none of us are perfect. And therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting is that it is our obligation to try to get involved in helping and making sure that people aren't acting appropriately, to try to make sure that they will. V'hani mili, but says the Gemara, when is it inappropriate to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel to get involved? This Ledina Ba'ara, when you have the opportunity to call that person to Bezdin. But if you don't have the opportunity to call that person to Bezdin, then of course, then you have no choice but to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Oilei L'tzoyik Yoytzim Ne'netzek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks disfavorably more on the person who complains about others than the person who is the subject of the complaint. Tanya Namihochi. The pasuk says, "Im ana tana oisoi." This is regarding people who act disrespectfully to Yisoimim and Almonos. And the Torah says, "Im ana tana oisoi." If you will cause them pain, kim tzog yitzuk alai, shmoya eshmet zakosoi, v'chori api v'rakti eschem. Echrat tzog, whether the Almono yosum, v'echran netzek b'mashma. The pasuk is saying that both the people, everybody is going to be punished. Elo shemaharmu tzoyg yotzman anetzik. Says the Gemara. Vamar yitzchokolim al teikil tzhejid kalabay necha. Somebody who is not important, and we think we don't have to worry about what he says, we should not disregard it. Shere Avimelech, we find that Avimelech kilel es Sora. He cursed Sora, Neskayim Bezara, and that's exactly what happened to our children. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, Avimelech says to Sarah, "Hine l'chok susay nayim." This will cover your eye. So says the Gemara, what is pshat in the pasuk? O amla hoil v'kasisim imeni. Since you disclosed from me, v'galis yishu ishech, you never disclosed that to me. Avram Avinu was your brother, not. You said that Avraham Avinu was your brother instead of really saying that he was your husband. For Garamtalai Tzarazah, as we discussed in our previous year, the terrible punishment that Avimelech and his whole family suffered. Yiratzin Shilcha B'nik Susinayim. Your children should be blind. The sky in Bazara, and that's actually what happened. The pasuk says, V'hi Kizok in Yitzchak V'tekehena in Amoros. So Mashah asks, why was Avimelech more focused on Sarah than Avram Avinu? So he explains, Avram Avinu, Avimelech understood, had a legitimate concern. Because Avram Avinu said, if I say I'm Sarah's husband, he will kill me, Avimelech will kill me. But Sarah wasn't a mortal death. And there was no mortal threat over Sarah, and that's why Avimelech was more upset with Sarah. Here, the Gemara says that this was the reason why Yitzchak got blind, but there are other explanations given in Rashi. Rashi gives three more reasons. One was because Esav's wife would make Haktaris of the Zorah, and that caused his eyes to get irritated. Another pshat that Rashi says is that when Yitzchak was laying by the Akedah, the gates of Shemayim opened up and tears from the Malachim hit Yitzchak's eyes and they caused him to become blind. And the third reason is that we know that Yaakov got the brachas instead of Esav, and it was all because Yitzchak was not really able to see who was in that situation. So we see from here, says the Chiddush Abach, how far we have to be concerned about the klal of a Rasha. And Avimelech was clearly a Rasha. And Avram and Sarah were clearly tzaddikim. And still, the Gemara is teaching us that Sarah was cursed, and that curse had its repercussions from Avimelech. Amar Avua, a person should be somebody who is chased. A person should rather be a victim, not from the person who is the perpetrator. There are no birds that are caught as much as the Tayrim Nayoina, and they are the past, and they are the birds, the only birds, whenever the bird is put on the Mizbeach, those are the birds that are put on. So Rashi says that it doesn't mean that a person should want to be a victim. What it means to say is that a person should never be a perpetrator, but not that one should be the victim. Another pshat, that what the Gemara means to say is that a person should not start up with the Yetzer Hara. And what the Gemara is saying is, Loilam ye Adam and Araitfim, Loilam and Adafim, a person should not start up, Osel is Garis Brishoim, the Gemara often says. The Pasuk says, in the Teichocha, and Parshas B'chukosai, V'nastem you will run, even though there's no one chasing you. So what is pshat, as Rapichus Mikoritz, that you're going to run even though no one is chasing you? So he explains that if you were running when somebody was chasing you, at least you would have the bracha of what's said in our Gemara today of Loilam Yir Nirdofim Loim Minaroidfim. And as our Gemara teaches us, that somebody who's a Nirdof HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. But what happens here is that you don't even have that. So then, there's nobody running after you, so you won't have the schus of being at least an Nirdofim. The Kotzker explains that not when a person wants to be a Nirdof, it's not because he wants to use it for an opportunity to get the people who are running after him punished. You should want to be a Nirdofim just to be a Nirdof, not because you want to see somebody else punished. The Pasuk says, V'nosnu b'nei Aaron eish al mizbeach v'orchu eitzim. And the Medrash, and the Gemara teaches us, kol eitzim k'sherim marochim, all wood may be used for wood on the mizbeach, chutz migefer mizayis, loma, shen oisim peris mishbachim, the grapevine, the olive tree, make wonderful fruit, halamaratash mizchus habonim avisayim miskabdim. So I saw that the Slotsker Rav in the Sefer Oznayim L'Torah asks a question, that isn't that Gemara a stira to what we're learning, a contradiction to what we're learning here? Here we're learning that the birds that are chased are the birds that are put on the Mizbeach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the best should be put on the Mizbeach, and since these birds have in them the quality being the Dofim, they deserve to be on the Mizbeach. So if the Atzi Geffen and the Atzi Zayis are the best wood, why are they not put on the Mizbeach? So he answers that indeed, as our Gemara very much teaches us, being put on the Mizbeach is a big covet, is very big honor. And that's why the Tarim and Bnei Yonah, because they are from the Nedochim, they're the ones that are put on the Mizbeach. That, because they are the actual carbon. But when we speak about the wood, wood is not the actual carbon. Wood is just machshire carbon, that they're used to burn the carbonus that we put on the Mizbeach. So he says that when we speak about machshire carbon, so we have now an option. Have the wood produce the olives and the grapes, or have the wood be there as a machshire carbon. To be a machshire carbon, the Gemara is suggesting it's better that we should have the wood produce olives and grapes and not be it's be machshire carbon. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody said, Sames enai, blind me, ketas yadei, break my foot, even if he said that I won't hold you responsible, he's chayiv. But he said, break my, tear my garment, break my pitcher, then he's also chayiv. But if that case, we said, amanas liftor, that you will not be held responsible, then he's potter. Says the Gemara, amalei ravasi b'chamal rava, maishta resha, why in the resha, even if the person says, I won't hold you responsible, it doesn't make a difference. A maishta seifa, why in the second case that we just mentioned, if the person says, I shall not hold you responsible, he is indeed not held responsible. Amalei resha, the first case where he's saying, you could hurt me, blind me, and the way I saw the Rashba explains the Gemara, that even though when the person said, I accept, he thought that he could accept it, the reality is that people cannot accept that kind of a pain. And therefore, the Mechila wasn't the real Mechila, says the Gemara. So in the second case, is a person going to be Michael on the pain, the Tanya Kana Pitsani Amnas Lifta Potter. If we're saying that the Pshat in the Gemara is that people are not able to take pain, so this is also that people realize that the pain that they said they could take, they actually can't take. So why over here are you Potter? Ishtik. Says the Gemara, he remained silent. Amalei, and he said, Amar, he said, Shmir Lech Baha. Did you hear an answer to this question? Amalei, sort of Asi Bar Chama said to Rava, Hachim Rav Shesh, what Rav Shesh said, that the reason why a person cannot be Meichel for being wounded is for a different reason altogether. The concern is Mishum Begam Mishpacha. The entire family suffers when there's a person in the family that is a Balmum. But that, explained the Mefarshim, is only when he's a Balmum, when the person was just hit, but he's not a permanent Balmum, then it's very different. So I saw that the Mefarshim say there's a very important lesson here. We know that if somebody does something wrong and he's taken to court, the Beis Din is supposed to judge his situation. When Beis Din judges his situation, when we take him to a secular court, there are rules of sentencing. And if the person did whatever he did, his sentence is whatever the sentence is supposed to be. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu judges a person, he doesn't just look at that person. He looks at his family. How will the family suffer when he's punished? So from here we see that that is the way Jewish court is supposed to work. But the Gemara is teaching us that when you judge a person, we're not just judging him, we're also looking if at the entire family. The Chavos Yar says that the entire discussion that we have in the Gemara is only after the fact. But says the Chavos Yar, no one is ever permitted to inflict injury on somebody else, because the Torah says you're not allowed to hit another Jew. The Michas Chinuch, however, says that the Torah only forbids hitting a Jew against his will. But if the person grants permission, which is obviously the case that we're learning in our Gemara, then the Isser of hitting a Jew doesn't apply. The Rabach also says that striking another person, if the person is willing to be hit, is not an Isser Midaraisa. And he quotes the Rambam. It's a Rambam that we quoted the other day in our shir that says that chavola, hitting somebody, injuring somebody, even oneself, is only usur derech the tzoyim. However, the Shulchan Aruch Rav disagrees. He says that a person has no right to give permission for someone else to hit him. He says because, and the Shulchan Aruch Rav establishes a very important principle. He says, we are not the owners of our body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us our bodies to give us the opportunity to do with our bodies what he wants us to do with our bodies. But not that we own our bodies. And that's the same reason, suggests the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that one is not allowed to commit suicide. You're not the owner of your body that you should suggest, well, I'm going to commit suicide. It's my body. I could do whatever I want. Of course, that, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, is completely unacceptable. And for the same reason, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that one may not commit suicide because it's not your body to make that determination what should or shouldn't happen with it. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the same applies very much to allowing someone to hit you. No one is allowed to hit you. You're not allowed to grant permission for anyone to hit you. Granting permission for somebody to hit you actually represents an isser that one is never allowed to do. And the Gemara, therefore, according to Shulchan Aruch Rav, is only speaking about after the fact. Itmar, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yishayahu, as we just learned, the reason why you cannot allow somebody to wound you is Mishum Mepam Gam Mishpacha, Rava Amma Mishum Shein Adam Meichel Atzara Resh Avarim Shaloi. A person, even if he says, I'm willing to take it, is not really going to be able to take it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan takes a different approach. He says, Yesh Hein Shukalav. Somebody sometimes says, yes, I agree, but he really doesn't agree. Yesh Lav Shai Kahain. And sometimes a person says no, but he really means yes. Somebody said to somebody else, for example, rip my clothing. And he asked him, will I be exempt financially if I do so? And the person says no, and maybe he meant yes, and he said yes, and maybe he meant no. We can't prove anything. So I saw that the Sefer Divrei Yisrael from the Majid Rebbe in a Sefer Klali Araisa, where he takes expressions in Shas and explains them a Pidrush, says what the way to understand this Gemara, Yesh Hain, there's people that think that they are Hain, they're somebody. Such people who really believe that they are somebodies are really Kalav, they're nobody. V'yesh Lav, and a person who thinks that he's a nobody, he's really Hain, he's really great. Tanya Nami Hachi, says the Gemara, we learn in a Braisa, if somebody says, Hikani Pitzani, hit me, wound me, I'm not liftar. And he says, will I be exempt? Vamaloi, and the person says, yes, Hain, you'll be exempt. Harei yesh Hain shukalav. That he, even though he said yes, but he really said, you think you're going to be exempt? And then, on the other hand, says the Braisa, Kras Susi, if somebody says to somebody else, rip my garment, I'm not slifter, and the friend asks him, will I be exempt? Vamalai lav, and he says, no, harei lav shukahain. What it really means is that, of course, you'll be exempt. So we can't just, we have to look at each word given the context. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody says, shvaras kadi kruz ksusi, somebody says, break my pitcher, rip my clothing, chayiv. Because even though he told him to do so, but if he did not explicitly exempt him from payment, the person who does it will be held responsible. Rimeni asked the Gemara, the Pasuk speaks about shomrim, Pasuk and Parshas Mishpatim. And the Pasuk says, Kitn ish al re'eyu, chamar osho oise, v'cho behema lishmar. So that v'meisu nishba ein roya. So the Pasuk says lishmar. Then if somebody was asked to watch this object, then he's chayiv if he was negligent. V'loy la'abed. He was not to give, not when he was asked to destroy it. Lishmar v'loy la'kroya. Or when he told him, I'm asking you to watch it, not rip it. Lishmar v'loy la'chalik la'aniyim. So we see that if he told him that you could do any of these things, he will not be held responsible. Answers the Gemara Amar Rav Kasha, Amar Rav Huna la'kasha. Hadas li'yodei. If the object already came to the Shomer's hand, and then at that point he becomes responsible. If he never became a Shomer and he told him you could destroy it, he will not be held responsible. That it's already watching and he's still chayiv. He became a shomer. V'loy kasha. Hadas liyada b'tar shmira. If he was appointed a shomer, then he's going to be held responsible. Hadas liyada b'tar kriya. If it was given to him with the understanding that he could do whatever he wants with it, then, and not watch it properly, he shall not be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Hua arnika the tztaka dosl pumpadisa. There was a wallet that had tztaka money in it that arrived in pumpadisa. After the Rabbi Yosef gabahu gavra. Rabbi Yosef entrusted that money by a certain individual, Pasha Ba, and he was negligent, and he didn't watch it properly. And also Gandhi and Ganavim came and stole it. And says the Gemara, Chayve Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef held him responsible. Omle Abaya. So Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, Tanya, have we learned in the Pasuk, Lishmar, that only Chayiv if you're asked to watch it. If you were asked to be a gabe stoker, you're not going to be held responsible. So the question here is that he was asked to watch stoker money. Why should he be held responsible? Amalei so Rabbi Yosef responded, Aniyah the Pumbedisa make it slahu. When they gave stoker to the Aniyah and Pumbedisa, everybody knew what they're going to get. And therefore, it's not like he's a garbage stalker. The definition of a garbage stalker is somebody who will make a decision how much everybody should get. Then the halachas of a garbage stalker are different. Here, He was appointed just to watch the money that was already predetermined how much everybody's going to get. Since it was already predetermined how much everybody was going to get, Lishmahu is considered a full-fledged Shomer, and therefore, as we just learned, the Shomer has full responsibility when he accepts to be a Shomer over an object. Hadron lo chachoyvel, hadron lo chachoyvel, hadron lo chachoyvel. Says the Mishnah, Goyzel Eitzim, if somebody stole wood, Vosim Kalim, and took that wood and made it into a vessel. Tzemer, or he stole wool, Vosim Begodim, and he made them into garments. Mishalim, Kishasak Zela. He has to pay, when he has to pay back for what he did, he has to pay according to the value that they had at the time it was, at the time that was stolen. So the Melech HaShleimah says that this is not just the halacha by gazlan. In our previous perek, we discussed extensively the difference between a gazlan, who does what he does publicly, versus a ganif, who does it surreptitiously. He says, this halacha that we're learning in our shiur today doesn't differentiate between a ganif and a gazlan. The halacha of a heshev as a gzela doesn't only represent the halacha by a gazlan, it's the same halacha by a ganif. Gozel para muberes. If somebody stole a pregnant cow, v'yolda, and it had a baby, rochel tuna v'gozelzo, he stole sheep that have wool on them, and he cuts off the sheep, mishalim, when he has to pay back to the person from whom he stole, mishalim, he has to pay back the mei para mudas leilid, the value of a pregnant cow, v'demei rochel, and the value of a sheep, haimedas legozes, that has wool on it. The Rishonim debate, what does this mean? Rashi says that what he has to pay back is the value of a sheep that has wool on it. And what it had now, that it had a baby, or if it grew more sheep over the time that it was in the possession of the ganif, that belongs to the ganif. The Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh says, if this animal with the sheep would have remained by its owner, it would have grown more wool. But since it would have grown more wool, it would be the property of the person who owned it. Therefore, just because it was in the hands of the ganif, shouldn't accept the person from whom it was stolen from getting what he deserves. Gozel para, the nuts, abra etzla v'yoda. But if somebody stole a cow and it became pregnant while it was by the ganif, roch of anitna atzloi, or he stole a sheep and it grew wool while it was by extim, the gozla, and then the ganif takes off the sheep, takes off the wool, misham kshas hagzela, you pay what it was worth at the shas hagzela. And then the Mishnah concludes, zeh klal, kol hagazlonim, whenever you have a situation of a gazlan, the gazlan always pays kshas hagzela. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. It says, so I saw the Mefarshim explained, the Rambam says that when a person does tshuva, he has to be b'oysa makam, that a tshuva is only considered a real tshuva, that if the person who's doing tshuva is in the same circumstances as he was when he did the Aveira. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us here as well. Kol ha-gazlonim, if somebody's a gazlan, somebody did an Aveira, the shalmim, how should they be viewed? Kishas ha-gzela. How they looked at the time of the gzela, when they, if they are doing it now as it was, when if they're acting now as it was in the time that they did the gzela, and they do tshuva, then their tshuva is considered a real tshuva. Begins the Gemara Amri. Eitzim v'asim kelim, only if you made the eitzim into a keli, in, does it become the property of the ganif. Shipam, but if you just polish them, loy, then they're not considered the property of the ganif. And the ganif will therefore have to return the actual wood. Semer vasim begodim, only by wool that you turned into a garment in does it become the property of the ganif. The libnam, if only thing that you did is whiten the wool, loy, they don't become the property of the ganif. But ask the Gemara of Rimini, the Brisa teaches us, gozel eitzim v'shipon, if somebody stole wood and he polished it, avonim v'sisisom, or he stole stones and he polished them, tzemer v'libnon, wool that he whitened, pishta v'nikua, cleaned the linen, mishalem b'shas gzela, he only paid the value that there were in the shas gzela. What, so the question the Gemara is asking, what does our Mishnah speak only about a case where somebody did a very serious act of changing what he stole? Here it seems that under all circumstances, it becomes the property of the ganef. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, the Tana in our Mishnah, Tani Dan Ketani, Shinu D'Rabbanan D'Hadra, that even though what you did was that Midaraisa, only a Shinui which is not reversible, Chazal said, make it the property of the ganef. But Chazal, but as we're going to learn extensively in our perek, the concept of takonas hashovim, Chazal wanted to encourage people to do tshuva, and therefore, under circumstances, even though the Torah says v'heishiv is a gzela, you should return what you stole. The Torah is teaching us that the Chazal made it easy that you should always give back. You should just give back the value and not give back what you stole. That's pshat in our Mishnah. Shinid Rabbanu Dehadra, even though it's reversible, the halacha is that it becomes the property of the ganef, the koshken, and certainly when it's a shinu deraisa. Eitz of Asim Kalim, Gezel Eitz Meshupim. It's talking about a case where you stole polished wood, or mainly in the sorum beans, the shinu deraisa lebriyosahu. So it's easy to dismantle that keli and give it back. Dibay Mishlef Lahu, you could just take apart the keli. Still, the Mishnah teaches us you need not do so. You could just give it, just keep it. Tzemer Vasim Begodim, again, it's speaking about a case, but Tzemer Tovi, that the wool was already woven into thread. And just undoing it is not a big deal. The Shinui Hadal B'Yosahu, you could undo what you did. For Kolshkein, Shinui, certainly when what the Shinui that you did was the Raisa, not reversible. So Tana Bro, the Braisa mentioned Shinui the Raisa Tani, the Shinui the Rabbanon Loi Tani. So the Mefarshim explained that the Tana is coming to teach us that even something which is not reversible, which is reversible, is still considered a Shinui that becomes the property of the ganef. So why did the Mishnah have to teach us both halachas, Eitzim Vasim Kalim and Tzemer Vasim Begodim? To teach us, explains the Tosfos Yontif, that even it doesn't make a difference if it's a big deal to reverse it or it's not a big deal to reverse it. The Torah is teaching us that if it's under all circumstances, even if it's not a big deal to reverse it, it still becomes the property of the of the ganef. So, Rav Ashi Amar, Tanidan Nam Shinu Deraisa Ketani. Rav Ashi has a different approach. And he says that our Tana is only speaking about something which is not reversible. But according to Rav Ashi, indeed, if what you did was reversible, it would not become the property of the ganef. Eitzim Vasim Kalim, when the Mishnah speaks about Eitzim Yimein to Kalim, it's talking about Buchni, the Shana Shifan. The definition in our Mishnah is that you polished it. Tzemer Vasim Begodim is when you made felt, namti, you turned the wool into felt, the Haina Shini Deloy Hadar, that's something that's not reversible. So the Chazanish asks a question. The Torah says, the Heshiv is Gzela Shegozel. The Torah says that if somebody, Rechman's son, stole something, he has to return what he stole. So how could Chazal change what Halacha teaches us? So he says that the Torah says, the Heshiv is Gzela Shegozel, it has to be Ke'en Shegozel. When it's not anymore as it was when you stole it, the din of a heshiv as a gzela doesn't apply. V'libun, asked the Gemara, miyav shinui, is whitening the wool, asked the Gemara, considered a shinui. V'rimini, the Mishnah Masechta Chulin teaches us that one of the matnas kahuna, Mishnah Nesekta Chulun Daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amen Aleph teaches us that one of the matas kuna is reishis hagez, that the first wool that's shorn from the animal has to be given to the kohen. And the Mishnah teaches there lahispik litn loy, if it wasn't given to the kohen atchet tzavai until it was died potter, because it becomes the property of the owner, of the person who owned the wool, livnoi. But if he only whitened it, v'loy tzavai, and he didn't dye it, chayiv. So we see that dyeing it is considered something, is considered a real shinui. But whitening it is not considered, whitening is not considered a shinui. So the parsha pshat in the Gemara is that the person who took the wool that was supposed to be given to the kohen and did it himself is considered a gazlan, but it becomes potter. But the Rambam has a different approach. He says that the person didn't have any intention to steal the wool, deprive the kohen of what belongs to the kohen. But rather, says the Rambam, the Torah says that the chiv of reishis hagez is only when it wasn't processed. If the wool was processed, there is no chiv of reishis hagez anymore. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, how do we reconcile? Is libnoi considered a shinui? Is whitening the wool considered a shinui or not? Amar Abaya loy kasha. Harav Shimon, the brisa that says that libun is considered a shinui is Rav Shimon. Ha, the Mishnah Masech Techulin that says the libun is not a shinui represents the opinion of Rabbanan. The Tanya, the Mishnah discusses how much reishis hagez are yechayiv. It says the wool that's shorn from five sheep. Gazazai, if somebody cut off the wool from one sheep, tava va'argai, and he processed it by weaving it and sewing it, aim at starif, it doesn't combine with other sheep. Rav Shimon Aimer, libnai, if all you did was just whiten it, Rav Shimon says that's already considered enough of a shinui that it won't combine with the wool of other sheep. V'cham Aimerim, whereas the Chum disagree, and they say that it is mitzdarf. Rav Amma, Rav has a different approach. Hava ha, Rav Shimon. Both the Mishnah Masech Techulin and the Braisa that we cited in our Gemara represent the opinion of Rav Shimon. V'loy kasha, hada nafutzei nafutzei. If you just separated the strands of wool, that's not considered an ashinui. Hada sakis sruke. But if you comb them with a brush, with a comb, that's considered an act of shinui. Rav Chiya bar Avinavim, ha, the way to reconcile the Mishnah Braisa, ha, the chavrei, if you just washed it the way you normally wash wool, it's not considered a shinui. Ha, the chavrei kavurei, if you put it into detergent where you wash it in a very strong fashion, that is considered a shinui. Says the Gemara, the Braisa says that according to Rav Shimon, dyeing it is not considered a shinui. So now ask the Gemara, Hashto Yeshloimer, not according to Rav Shimon, Tzevel Rav Shimon Lev Shinui, dyeing it is not considered a shinui. So how could we suggest that according to Rav Shimon, Liban Hav Shinui, that just whitening it should be a shinui? And the Gemara says, the Tanya, the Brisa says, Gozas Rishon V'tzavai, a person cuts his wool one animal at a time and dyes it, rishon rishon v'tavai, or one animal at a time he weaves the wool, rishon rishon v'argai, or he wove them, sewed them, aim at starf. The animals that we have to combine, five animals, are not at starf. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, I'm Rav Shimon tzavai, if you dye them, mit starf. So we see that Rav Shimon holds that even dyeing is not a way to make a shinui. So how can we suggest a libun is a shinui? Answers the Gemara, Omer by Eloi Kasha. The Braisa that Rabbanan libun Rav Shimon, Harav Shimon Yehuda libun Rav Shimon. So Machloikis, what is the opinion of Rav Shimon? Says the Gemara, Rav Amaloi Loi Pliga Rabbanan Loi Rav Shimon Yehuda. V'shani Tzeva, paint dyeing is less of a shinui than libun. Why? Harav Yochel Avira Yidei Tzofen. There are detergents that could take off the dye. The kik tani hasam le hispig litna as a tzava partner, the kedivna b We said there that when you dye the wool, that makes it that you made a very serious shinui. Now we're learning that that dyeing it is not considered a shinui because you could reverse it with detergent. Says there's a certain dye called kala ilan, which is a blue dye, which is very similar in color to the tchelis. And that, says the Gemara, the layover cannot be removed. And therefore, in that case, everybody will agree that it's considered a shinui.